for freedom every day.
Let me tell you, the response to the show has been absolutely amazing. People can't believe that a young conservative millennial continues to fight for constitutional principles, traditional values, and talks about issues that some are even afraid to talk about. But we do it because we understand the importance of this, and now we're seeing it absolutely blow up all across the nation.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, sir. Welcome into the Voice of Reason. It is a Thursday. We are one day closer to the greatest holiday of the entire year. I know we talk about it every day, but I'm excited. What can I say? We feel that 4th of July really is a holiday that we celebrate every single. I wish we could really, you know, blow up the fireworks and sing the patriotic stuff every single day, but we'll contain our excitement to one day a year. Kinda. Welcome in, broadcasting live out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, off the flagship station of the Big Talker, KQAM in Wichita, Kansas, as we broadcast all over the country on numerous different radio, TV stations, also streaming online on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitter, Twitch, LinkedIn, also at HoosierReason.com. We have the Podbean live stream up and rolling as well, so we're all over the place. There's no reason why you shouldn't be tuned in right now, or at least listening to the program in some way, shape, or form. And boy, do we have a show lined up for you today. Unemployment makes shocking claim of how many people get back to work. Now, the reason I do that is because on the other side of the aisle, they have to find an excuse for it, because it can't be Donald Trump bringing the economy back, but he's handled the virus terribly, so therefore it's going to shut back down. And according to Joe Biden said, well, those were the easy jobs. Those were the easy jobs that came back. The 2.5 million jobs that came back from May to June, bringing it down from 13% unemployment down to 11% unemployment, 11.1, whatever it was. Those are the easy jobs. Those are the ones that just come back automatically anyways. It's not that big of a deal. It's going to be the next round of jobs that's going to be extremely tough to bring back. And therefore, Trump's not going to be able to handle it, right? To me, that sounds kind of like the whole Barack Obama thing of like, those jobs are gone. They're never going to come back. You can never bring them back. You don't have a magic wand. You can't do that. It's done. It's over. The times have changed, Donald Trump. Not going to happen. And yet he did it. So Joe Biden giving him the same lack of credit, saying those are the easy jobs that came back, those 2.5 million, bringing it back down to 11% unemployment rate after the virus. It's his fault that we had to shut down. But now the jobs aren't coming back, and it's his fault because he's not bringing them back. And by the way, we'll have another secondary round of the virus. So we'll get into that here in just a little bit as well. But I am excited for our guest today. I want to bring him on and chat. He is talking about the millennials. You know, we're millennials. At least I am. Many of you are that are listening. It's really cool. We're bringing in a new demographic to talk radio that normally isn't there. And it's really neat to see with the podcasting downloads. I can kind of see demographics on the numbers, at least where people are downloading the show or listening to the program. And come to find out, as we were talking to our guest off the air, getting him ready, that we're alumni of the same college. Now, I can't call myself an alumni because I was only there for 2 years, but we went to the same school, involved in the same stuff. And he's actually living where I just moved from just a few months ago, back in Ohio in the Toledo and Bowling Green area. An alum from Bowling Green State University, a Falcon, baby, of our delicious brown and orange colors. He is the author of Bellwether Blues, A Conservative Awakening of the Millennial Soul. I'm excited to have on the program Jonathan Jakubowski here with us. John, how are you, my friend?
Andy, doing great. So excited to be on with you.
Hey, I'm glad that you're here, and I appreciate it very much. And BGSU, my friend, that's fantastic. I had no idea you're from Bowling Green. That's awesome.
It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it when you told me that. But they say here, I Ziggy Zumba, that's our fight song.
That's
so
right.
I just got to say I Ziggy every time I meet a fellow alum.
I Ziggy Zumba, my friend. Man, I haven't heard that in years, and that brings up very interesting memories of adult beverages that were consumed in large quantities. So we'll just move on from that one. Let's talk about your book, The Conservative Awakening. You get it. You're a millennial. I'm a millennial. We have a bad reputation. We have a bad reputation as a millennial that we are the autonomous individuals, that we are part of the Antifa, that we are the left-wing progressives that want to tear down statues, that our generation are the snowflakes that live in our parents' basements, and that love socialism and Bernie Sanders, and that we can do the Tide Pod Challenge and then go to the hospital and have everything taken care of for free because Bernie Sanders is going to provide it for us. Is that really what the millennial generation's all about?
Well, the millennial generation is the largest generation in America, and it's actually a little older than most people think. Millennials now are aged roughly between the age of 24 and 39 years. So not all of them are now on college campuses. In fact, unless they're pursuing a graduate degree, they're probably not. Most of them are now having families, entering the job market, paying taxes. And there's a nuance, there's a difference between millennials. I mean, the millennial generation being as large as it is, naturally, there's going to be some differences. And there was some research done by the Center for Generational Kinetics, Jason Dorsey. And his research was pretty groundbreaking in identifying two distinct sets of millennials. You have millennials that fit all of the stereotypes that you just talked about, Andy. But then there's a whole other subset of millennials that is growing by the day, who are entering into that, those maturing years and viewing the world differently. And a lot of those millennials live in swing states throughout the country. They live in mainland America, or as the Dems like to call it, flyover country, which is where, thankfully, with an electoral college, we still have the ability to have an impact on this election. That's the millennials that I'm talking about in Bellwether Blues, and it's a very winnable generation, but there's a lot of work to be done.
There is a lot of work to be done, and I'm proud to be part of that quote-unquote flyover nation now that I'm back here in Wichita, Kansas. And the now, at what point are we starting to see that transition? Because I did see a story that said that a lot of millennials don't consider themselves an adult until the age of 30, because now they're starting to have to take care of their own insurance. They're starting to get out and take care of a family, actually try and get housing for themselves and not live with their parents. They're outside of college. And you're right, the world's hitting them with a dose of reality. Is that about the time we're starting to see it? Is about that 30-year-old age, or when are we starting to see that transition?
So, yeah, the research done by both Pew and the Center for Generational Kinetics seems to demonstrate a level of some delayed adulting. That delayed adulting is starting to have an impact. Millennials are marrying later. They're getting into the job market later, all the things you just said about insurance. Life is coming at them a little harder now, and because of that, they're making different decisions. Because of that, we're seeing the world differently. The biggest thing that I believe marks the millennial generation that I identify in the book as a winnable demographic for conservative principles are those millennials that are skeptical, disillusioned, and frustrated with politics and the status quo. What they've seen is the left's abandonment of freedom, the left's abandonment of the principles they used to stand for. You know, back when JFK was a Democrat president fighting for the First Amendment, the Democratic Party has abandoned those principles and embraced leftism and has left a whole subset of this generation in the messy middle. That's why the title of the book comes from millennials having the bellwether blues. They're disillusioned and frustrated. That's the group that I believe conservatives have an opportunity to win if we can become persuasive in our approach.
You're absolutely right and spot on with that when it comes to the approach, because I think conservatives have done a horrible job trying to present the case of conservatism, because we try to be, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, we're too analytical. We talk about tax rates, we talk about percentages, statistics, but we don't talk about emotion. And I think that's why people don't really have maybe necessarily a connection with the American flag or the national anthem as we do. When some of us hear the national anthem and see a flag being raised, we bawl our eyes out because it's a very emotional thing. Some people just don't get that, which is why you see the disrespect and people wanting to burn the flag in the streets today. And we don't present cases, I think, in an appealing way because we're very standoffish, I think, in many cases. Let's go back to the beginning and let's talk about why at first the millennial generation got that notion of what they actually are in this representation of with this crazy left progressive. Is it because of the pendulum swinging in society and it was just that generation that was born that way? Is it the generation prior to that maybe indoctrinated them? Is it the lack of teaching, the lack of conservative messages that they heard in education systems? Why do you think that we were originally in this mindset before the transition began?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons why. There's many variables that have affected the worldview of millennials broadly throughout America. And there's certainly many millennials that now perpetuate that worldview, as we're seeing in the cities where statues are being pulled down and buildings are on fire. Many millennials are in that fight. And I do think education has had a major role in it. I've talked to a number of leading conservatives from previous generations who bemoaned the fact that they didn't recognize the threat that giving education away to the left without being engaged and invested, what that would mean to the minds and hearts of future generations to come. I think it's the media's approach to displaying fake news and declaring it as fact. I believe it's the postmodern era in which we live in, where there are no absolutes according to that worldview. So I think it's a mixture and a whole bunch of reasons why this generation is started out from that vantage point. What I think is encouraging to me, though, Andy, is I believe that as Americans, many Americans believe that freedom is core to our DNA. It's in our anthems. It's on our coins. It's just a part of who we are. And I think we yearn as millennials to see freedom, that not just freedom for ourselves, but freedom for others. And I think that's the first most winnable principle that, if communicated effectively and persuasively, can help awaken their soul, which is the subtitle of Bellwether Blues.
Sure. We're talking with Jonathan Jakubowski, Bellwether Blues, a conservative awakening of the millennial soul, this douse of reality that gets hit when it comes to millennials. And I want to get into this in a little bit later in the show, is the fact that times have changed. I mean, the generations prior to didn't have nearly as much student loan debt as what we do. And when we finally take on that crazy amounts of debt, which is why even without the fault of many millennials living with their parents to try and pay off the debt to afford living situations, to be able to provide for a family, times are definitely different. Are these issues that once they do get hit with that dose of reality that really have crafted maybe that transition of the from the more progressive mindset to saying, oh my gosh, wait a second, now I have to take care of these things, I need to figure it out myself? Or does that maybe entrench some to go further into their ideology on the other side of the aisle?
Well, the simple answer is it depends, right? It depends upon the circumstances that surround an individual millennial and what they're facing and where they're growing up and where they're receiving information from. But what I've found specifically with this generation is a level of isolation and loneliness that is almost unprecedented. Mm. It's like they're enslaved in their own loneliness. And part of that is because of the rise of the technological age. As the millennials were behind our screens all day, every day, phones and computers and apps, and there is much less human being interaction, interrelational conversations face-to-face than there have been previously. And this is where there's a tremendous opportunity to use authentic relationship, mentorship, investing into the life of an individual with the vision of helping them flourish. That will help them see that the principles that individual, that mentor stands for, have reason for them to step in and maybe consider an alternative worldview, an alternative vantage point. So this is where, at the very end of Bellwether Blues, my primary recommendation to the conservative bloc is to stop thinking so large. Like, don't worry about reaching 1,000 people with a Facebook message that takes the knees out of an opponent. No, worry about one millennial, two millennials, three millennials that you may have in your life, and step out and step into their life. And as you invest into their lives, as you develop that relationship, you will build the currency of trust. And that currency of trust will allow them to let the guard down, let the walls down, and they'll be able to hear you out.
That one-on-one relationship, it's really important. I love that. We got to take a break here in just a minute. So hang on the line. We'll get to you when we come back here as well, because I want to dive deeper into that. You're absolutely right. We can really reach individuals if we have that personal connection, because our generation doesn't like to do the large gatherings. They don't do weekly bowling night or weekly poker night as much as some of the other group or some of the other generations really like to do. So how do we reach them and how do we do it? It's not the negative approach. It's not the attacking approach on social media, but reaching out and having that dialogue, getting through that layers of the onion, and we can actually reach some individuals, bringing hope to the millennial generation. I love it. We'll do that when we come back here. Lots more coming up on The Voice Reason. It's a Thursday. Don't go anywhere.
The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, it's Andy Hoosier with The Voice of Reason. Fighting for conservative principles seems more difficult all the time. The progressive left seems to find new and creative ways to limit freedom, abuse power, and trample the Constitution each and every day. That's why we need the knowledge, resources, and common sense to push back. And we can help with that. Visit our website at HoosierReason.com. There's some really great stuff for you. You can read the latest blog discussing topical issues and current events. Let us know your thoughts by filling out our monthly survey. Keep track of what I might be doing or where I may be speaking. Listen to the podcast of your favorite guest or show. And check out our latest Voice of Reason product infomercials. Plus, you can find upcoming show schedules and guest lineups to plan your radio listening appropriately. And finally, make sure to become a Hoosierholic by subscribing to the free newsletter. Stay up to date on the latest news of the show, fun facts of the month, and learn new ways to defend and preserve this great republic. It's all there at HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Go check it out. Why? Because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. Want to reach out to the show? A big part of the program is you, and we want to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts of the show, maybe a guest we've had on the program, or my favorite, when you disagree with something that I talk about. You can email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or send us a message through our website at HoosierReason.com. The show's not about me, it's about you. So be heard and be your own voice of reason. Again, email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or find our contact information at HoosierReason.com. Miss part of the show? Don't worry about it. There's plenty of ways to catch the program, and here's how you can do it. First, make sure to tune in every day right here on your favorite radio station.
We're here for you.
Second, subscribe to the podcast on any of your favorite sites. YouTube and iTunes, Spotify and Google Play, TuneIn, Podbean, and more. Have the show automatically downloaded to your favorite device. Last, visit our website at HoosierReason.com. You can listen to the podcast, catch our special features, and more. It's the voice of reason on radio, TV, and online, helping you defend and preserve this great republic.
You're listening to the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, you are. Just a word of programming note for you that we will be doing a best of program tomorrow for the Voice of Reason, as we've been doing this, what now, 3 weeks on the quote unquote grand national scale, as we've started to branch out in numerous different markets, and we'll be doing a best of program tomorrow, so make sure to stay tuned in for that. If you miss any of the programs, you can always go to HoosierReason.com. You can download any of the podcasts if you do any podcasting sites, Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcast. I did not realize, by the way, Apple Podcasts and iTunes were separate. I had no idea. And we're on both of them. I just did not know. I was looking at the demos on where the show is actually being downloaded from the different sites, and it was separated. And I was like, what the heck? But nonetheless, we're on both, so you can go there, you can find The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier, you can subscribe, have it automatically downloaded to your listening device, your mobile device, your home computer, whatever you listen to with your podcast. Spotify, we're on there as well. We're working on Pandora. I don't think we're on there right now, but we will be very soon. It takes a while. They said like 6 weeks to process. Weird. I don't know. Anyways, we're going to have a best of tomorrow, and looking forward to having a day off celebrating the 4th of July, which means today we'll do all the patriotic hoorah the way we like to do each and every year. Right now, we're talking with Jonathan Jakubowski, author of Bellwether Blues, A Conservative Awakening of the Millennial Soul, a fellow individual from Bowling Green State University. And it's great to talk to an alum from there as well. Let's talk about, again, the millennials and the importance. You touched on it briefly in the last segment, the importance of this generation, one of the largest generations in America, and the influence that they can have on an election, positive or negative, but how important it is for these individuals to turn out to vote, because I don't think a lot of them do vote, do they?
Well, you saw a lot of limited participation at record low numbers, especially during the midterms, which is what I was researching as a comparative analysis to 18. But in 2018, something shifted, something happened, and there was a massive movement of millennials that did step in and did engage. And there's a lot of reasons why I think we could give credit to the increase in voter participation. But one of the things to notice is the Dems' large investment in reaching out to millennials in their hot districts and getting them out. So there was a lot of work that was done by the left to invest in getting millennials out to vote. Not so much on the conservative side, not so much by the Republican Party. There was some work, but I don't think there was a significant amount. And largely, I think that's the result of this belief that it's not a winnable generation. And I think the empirical evidence demonstrates that it is winnable. There's work to be done, but especially in states where it really matters. And this 2020 election, Andy, could not be more important. It really matters. It matters that we get out and we do what we can to win minds and hearts, because the consequences of what is going to happen in this election cannot be overstated. So I think if we can deliver, lift, and invest in a concerted effort to identify those millennials that might share some values with us, and I talked about freedom earlier, I think we have a chance to get those voters out and have them speak to truth and stand for principles. Like I saw with seven stories of millennials in Wood County, Ohio, a swing county, I saw these seven millennials change all the way from the left and supporting Obama and supporting his personality and the charisma and persona, to then changing all the way to principles. Even if they didn't necessarily like or embrace President Trump, they voted for him because he stood for something that they believed in. And that shift was monumental and incredibly important for us to be aware of.
Sure. That reaching out, and you mentioned it in the last segment as well, just the fact that they're more isolated, it's more social media. They're used to having that wall up, aren't they? Just the fact that they don't trust anything, or it's very abrasive when it comes to a conversation on social media or even talking in general, because maybe some haven't had the experience to really do a deeper discussion or a deeper debate. So therefore, once they unveil those layers and actually have to defend some of their positions, maybe some of them begin to come up short, and when they start to think about it more so is when that door begins to open up for that possibility, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that I think is to admire about the millennial generation is many of the millennials are compassionate, very compassionate, driven towards helping others and trying to lift them up.
I tell you what,
as much as we bemoan the millennial generation at large, go ahead.
Hey, John, real quick, we got a break here. Could you stick over one more segment with us? Oh, I think we lost him. Hold on 1 second here. We're going to try and get you on for the next segment. One more segment with us. We got a bottom of the hour hard break we have to take. It's Jonathan Jakubowski, Bellwether Blues, a conservative awakening of the millennial soul. I want to deep dive into that. How can we continue to reach out to the millennials and begin to shift that change? Stay here.
With Andy Hoosier.
Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. While you listen to the delightful broadcast of The Voice of Reason, don't forget to check us out and follow us on all of our social media sites. Whether you're using Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Minds.com, or Instagram, we're there for you. Find us at Hoosier Reason on any of your social media platforms. You'll see special commentary, links to the articles and news that we use on the show, and videos of the broadcast. Plus, you can directly send us a message on social media during the show to let me know your thoughts. Many already do, and it's a great chat room for all of our great listeners. And you can always sign up for the Patreon site to get exclusive content, maybe hear show products before we air them on the radio, and a lot more. And when you support us on Patreon, you also help the show be able to fight for conservative values each and every day.
So it's a win-win.
Just find us at Hoosier Reason on all of your social media platforms, or you can find a link to all of our social media sites on our website at HoosierReason.com. We know you're on social media already, so bring some reason into your day. Why? Because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do.
When Reason Meets Radio. You're listening to The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, you are. Welcome in 35 minutes past the hour. Great to have you today on a Thursday, the last half hour of the program. It goes by so fast, so fast. We got so much to talk about. We could get into so deep into the weeds here in all directions, but we try and keep it mainstream for you, fitting 10 pounds of reason into a 5-pound bag as we rebrand the millennial generation one radio listener at a time, and especially today, with our guest and being gracious enough to hang out with us here one more segment, Jonathan Jakubowski, Bellwether Blues, a conservative awakening of the millennial soul, as we talk about our generation, the young generation. We need the young generation. At some point, this is why I like the conversation, is because the older generations eventually, obviously, are going to fade away, and we're going to take up the leadership. And I don't need, when the millennials continue to take more of the leadership, I don't want to hear things like,
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
We don't need that. We need educated individuals. We need smart individuals. We need people who actually think and don't say things like,
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
Yeah, so how do we reach them? How do we get the millennial generation to get on board? Is it just the life lessons of, bam, you get smacked with a dose of reality, and now you have to deal with all the bills, and you got to figure it out? I think some that are too far gone on the left are going to be too far gone, and they're never going to change, because that just makes them more angry. And why do I have to pay for this? Why can't it be free? Come on, Bernie Sanders. Yeah. Or they're going to realize that, hey, you know what, maybe a 50% tax rate's not the smartest idea. We have to find ways to appeal to them. And I'm excited with John talking on the show today how we can continue to reach them and the importance of this generation. And I know, Jonathan, maybe you can elaborate a little bit more than me, but many of them that have already become in leadership positions, not just the AOCs of the world, but the conservatives that are rising up, that are being part of the local politics. I've always said that local politics is going to be where it's at. Everything's going to come back down to the local level because we have more control over the local level. And as we feel that we're out of control with what goes on in D.C. and Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and all that garbage, that we can actually have an impact on things at the local level. We're in the good part about that, I think, is that you kind of weed out the ideologues and you actually have to deal and address with issues in more of a commonsensical approach. Does that help with the process, you think?
No doubt about it. I mean, conservatism at its best is the idea of making sure that we don't have so much government in our lives that it's dictating, telling us where to go, what to do, what to make, what industries we need to be involved in. We want to see limited government. And the best ways to ensure that we have limited government is through a system called federalism. You know, one of my favorite parts of the Constitution is found in Article 4, Section 4, which guarantees to every state in this union a Republican form of government. What that means is that we have representation, representatives that stand in for us, that broker power. We lend them the power. We don't give it to them. We lend them the power. And then we, the people, are responsible for making sure that they use it wisely. Now, we don't have as much of a voice at the national level when one member of Congress represents almost a million people. But at the local level, with my commissioner, I'm one of thousands of individuals, only in the handful, who is in their entire constituency. So very few people reach out to them. I have a lot of authority, a lot of persuasion, and a lot of influence at the local level. And to your point, having common sense conversations at that level is a lot easier. It removes a lot of the ideologies and the divide that exists, like getting our garbage picked up on the right time, right? For example. So yes, we want to make sure we have limited government. And yes, we want to devolve authority as much as possible to the local level.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about trying to reach out to the millennial generation, as you mentioned, kind of the more isolationist approach with social media, is it best to approach them on social media, or is it still best to try and meet them in a face-to-face conversation, have that dialogue, and be able to maybe corner them to some degree on trying to back up claims or back up their ideology in order to make them think a little bit more? What is the best way to approach some of these millennials that we need to reach out to?
Well, you know, before we went to break, I was talking about the compassion of this generation, how many millennials live life through the lens of compassion. I think that's why many of them are attracted to socialism. Now, they've been mistaught entirely what socialism is and what it does and how it devalues human life. And Venezuela is a perfect example of that. But their vision of socialism is one where they're helping people, they're helping the poor, they're engaging them. So there's this element of compassion. And it's very difficult through the lens of social media, not impossible. And I'm not saying the call of Bellwether Blues is not to stop telling the truth and not having leaders out there in the public forum declaring truth and speaking it broadly and widely. What I'm saying is a missing plank of the conservative approach has been this abandonment of face-to-face conversation, whether it's because we're intimidated by the nature of the millennial or I don't know, the differences of opinion are so broad and so far and so wide that we don't think we can bridge the gap, or maybe we just don't think that they care enough about us. They don't value us. I really have seen in my life, Andy, when I moved back to Northwest Ohio, I was in D.C. and I was around a bunch of young people who were all driven to change the world. But I did not have in my life individuals who were investing into me, mentors, leaders that could pour into my life and help me see the pathway ahead. Well, when I moved back to Northwest Ohio, that was one of the richest blessings of life, was having older individuals that were conservatively minded who helped me see different ways to go about living life and to flourish with my family. And I really believe that authentic relationship, face-to-face relationship, carries immeasurable value. Everyone is inundated with these relationships online through email and through Facebook chats and through Twitter chats. But what we're missing is face-to-face authentic relationships. So I think there's immeasurable value and worth with face-to-face, and it is much greater, and the influence is much higher when you are in a face-to-face dialogue.
Well, that's the way it was used to be. It used to be, wasn't it? I mean, we respected our elders. I mean, the Native American tradition was you told stories. The wise elders were the ones that taught you a life lesson by telling you a story. And you learned the story and you thought it was a fun story as a kid. But as you grew up, you learned the life lesson about it so you could practice it. And you would learn the wisdom from the elders in order to advance and have new wisdom along with their old wisdom to pass down to the young generation. And we have a very, you would think with social media, that would be a very easy thing to do now because you could spread wisdom all over the place wherever you wanted to. But we've kind of gone the other direction, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And, you know, this is a tactic of the left. Intersectionality is a term that I talk about in Bellwether Blues. And intersectionality is a part of critical race theory, critical theory in general, which creates classes of victims of all different types. And one of the things that the theory is trying to do and the left is trying to do is to divide us as much as they can, to sow division. And one of the areas that they divide us is by age, that the younger cannot learn from the older. The older, especially the older white men and older white women, we're all privileged and set apart, and there's nothing that we have to contribute into the lives of younger generations. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. To your point, if you look back throughout history, some of the richest cultures have been benefited by sages, people that have walked the journey ahead of younger generations and are able to reach back and provide lessons that maybe we don't have to fall in the same pit holes because of the lesson given to us. And whether or not the millennial recognizes this entirely, I can tell you from the individuals in my life who stepped in and told me they cared about me enough to sit down and talk with me, invest into my life, it has made my life significant. Conservatives do that, Andy. I think we're going to see more hearts changed.
That would be so nice. I love it. Let's talk about moving forward. We got a few minutes left here. Let's talk about what we can do moving forward to the next generations, even beyond that. Is it doing the same thing, getting involved with them, maybe getting involved in the education system to educate the younger generations? I saw a story that said the younger generation after the millennials is going to be one of the most conservative generations since World War II because they're seeing all the dumb stuff that we do and that they're going to try and fix that and laugh at us and say, what the heck are you guys all about? But is there a way to maybe change, I guess, not only the mindset of the millennials, but beyond that to make sure that the craziness and the lunacy that's going on right now doesn't happen again, or at least for a really long time until we obviously repeat history down the road?
Well, there's absolutely a lot of things we can do, but time is the most finite resource that we have in life. And what you're talking about, Andy, is Gen Z. Generation Z is the generation that follows the millennials, and there are some signs of them wanting to learn from the pitfalls that have happened in the generation that preceded them. But as I speak to the conservatives out there today, you know, time is short in this. Are incredibly high. There is no better time than right now to step out and step in. Go out from beyond our homes and into the lives of individuals that surround us. Millennials that we may know, neighbors, friends, grandsons, granddaughters. Step out from behind our screens and go into the important things and our principles and values, and why those principles and values will lead to a flourishing life, will lead to a Wayne, hey, we don't have to be political about this. Like, no party is perfect.
Sure.
There's no, the Republican Party is not perfect. The Democratic Party is not perfect. We don't have to be partisan about it. We can just explain why these principles give us the best opportunity and the longest chance at being able to extend the blessings of liberty, as the preamble of the Constitution talks about, the blessings of liberty to the next generation. And it is critical that we step out right now.
Amen to that. Jonathan Jakubowski, Bellwether Blues, A Conservative Awakening of the Millennial Soul. It's a book everybody needs to get and needs to read, needs to understand and be able to implement in their daily lives to reach out to this generation and try and win some souls over to the awakening. Real quickly, how can people get a hold of your book and look out for you?
Yeah, so if they go to our website, one of the first things I learned about this book was Bellwether, how you spell Bellwether. W-E-T-A-D. Represents a sheep that was the lead one in the flock and had a bell hung around its neck. So bellwetherbluesbook.com is the website, but they can purchase it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores near you. Just reach out and ask them, and they should have access to it through their distribution channel.
bellwetherbluesbook.com, B-E-L-L-W-E-T-H-E-R, bluesbook.com. We got about 20 seconds left, but give us an update on the coronavirus there in Ohio and in Northwest Ohio. How are things? Have they locked things down, or are the numbers starting to decrease a little bit real quick?
So there is kind of this idea of a potential second wave. And one of the things that I appreciate about red state governors, we have a leader who has tried to do that, tried to secure, protect the inalienable rights and the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights. He's tried to do those things. And I think as a result, we've had, relatively speaking, more success than the state north of us, Michigan.
Good, good. I love it. John, we got to get you as a regular on the program. It's excellent stuff. I appreciate the time very much. And make sure everybody to go out and get that Bellwether Blues. We appreciate that very much. We got to take a break here. One more segment coming up as we wrap up for our week. There's still a Friday, but we got a best of coming up tomorrow. So we'll kind of wrap up things right here on The Voice of Reason. Don't go anywhere.
The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. While you listen to the delightful broadcast of The Voice of Reason, don't forget to check us out and follow us on all of our social media sites. Whether you're using Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Minds.com, or Instagram, we're there for you. Find us at Hoosier Reason on any of your social media platforms. You'll see special commentary, links to the articles and news that we use on the show, and videos of the broadcast. Plus, you can directly send us a message on social media during the show to let me know your thoughts. Many already do, and it's a great chat room for all of our great listeners. And you can always sign up for the Patreon site to get exclusive content, maybe hear show products before we air them on the radio, and a lot more. And when you support us on Patreon, you also help the show be able to fight for conservative values each and every day.
So it's a win-win.
Just find us at Hoosier Reason on all of your social media platforms, or you can find a link to all of our social media sites on our website at HoosierReason.com. We know you're on social media already, so bring some reason into your day. Why? Because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do. Miss part of the show? Don't worry about it. There's plenty of ways to catch the program, and here's how you can do it. First, make sure to tune in every day right here on your favorite radio station.
We're here for you.
Second, subscribe to the podcast on any of your favorite sites. YouTube and iTunes, Spotify and Google Play, TuneIn, Podbean, and more. Have the show automatically downloaded to your favorite device. Last, visit our website at HoosierReason.com. You can listen to the podcast, catch our special features, and more. It's the Voice of Reason on radio, TV, and online, helping you defend and preserve this great republic. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. Want to reach out to the show? A big part of the program is you, and we want to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts of the show, maybe a guest we've had on the program, or my favorite, when you disagree with something that I talk about. You can email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or send us a message through our website at HoosierReason.com. The show's not about me, it's about you. So be heard and be your own voice of reason. Again, email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or find our contact information at HoosierReason.com.
You're listening to The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Welcome back into The Voice of Reason. Last segment of the week, really, for us, as we have a best of program coming up for you tomorrow. Make sure to stay tuned in for that here on all the radio stations, picking up the program right now, which we appreciate and thanks so much for. Thanks again to our guest as well. I don't know what goes on with the weird phone line thing. It happens every once in a while with some of our guests, and it kind of fades out, and then it goes away. So it was right at the end there, but right as he was trying to spell the book. So if you're looking for the book, it's bellwetherbluesbook.com, B-E-L-L-W-E-T-H-E-R. So it's kind of the same, but kind of different. Bellwetherbluesbook.com. You can check it out all of your bookstores, and you can have it as well. The Conservative Awakening of the Millennial Soul, it's definitely what we need, isn't it? We need to awake the millennials because at some point, and I've been terrified, so this is kind of heartwarming to me, at some point, we're going to have to take the leadership on some of these roles in our government, in society. We're going to be the elders. Imagine that. I don't want to think about that yet, but we're going to be the elders.
I know.
And we need to be prepared for it. And no longer do we go do the normal thing by going and getting the wisdom from the elder generation, but we just kind of figure it out ourselves, which I kind of tread my own path anyways, which is not a bad thing. But sometimes you just need some wisdom from the higher ups, and sometimes they're not giving it to us. So we need to figure it out on ourselves too, but have the conversation. I always talk about that's why we call ourselves the Voice of Reason, because we're not the, this person is so horribly bad that they can never be, except for, you know, of course, one person.
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
Okay, there are some that are just kind of lost to the wind and there's nothing we can do about it. But the large, vast majority can have a conversation, which is why if someone disagrees, I try to have a longer discussion with them. We want to unveil the layers of the onion, make them defend a position, because at some point, if you're just doing the Twitter thing with 130 character tweets, then at some point they can't go any further. That's when they start doing the name calling. You're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a Nazi, you're a white privileged individual, you're a whatever. That's when they start with the name calling because they have nothing else. As soon as they do, and sometimes that's the very first thing out of their mouth, but as soon as they do those things, then they have no other argument. They have nothing else in their arsenal. That's it. But if you can get past that, I love the conversations on social media or in person when they get past that and you make them realize that conservatism is actually the most caring, loving type of ideology out there. It's not the emotional touchy-feely like a progressive, like, oh, we just want to do, you know, social programs for you. But hey, let me teach you something so you can do things on your own. The greatest feeling of independence. And I think that some get very scared with that. Personally, I think many progressives and many millennials get very scared with having independence to have to choose and make decisions in life because maybe they didn't have to do that in life. Maybe they had the helicopter parents as a kid where it took care of everything for them. They didn't have to worry about nothing. But conservatism is the greatest liberation of freedom, which is perfect going into a holiday weekend like this. The perfect ideology for the liberation of freedom. And by what I mean by freedom is by I mean the choices you get to make in your daily life. What car do you want to drive? What food do you want to eat? What light bulb do you want to put in your home? What do you want to do with your life? You have that choice. Because if you're on the progressive end, then you think that that stuff doesn't matter. The government's going to tell me what to do anyway, so that way it gets ripped out of my memory. I don't have to worry about it, and I just go do what they tell me to. And some like that because it's a sense of security. I don't like that because it's a false sense of security, and it's not real. You got to make the choices for you, and whether you succeed or you fail is up to you and you alone. Again, America is about equal opportunity, not equal outcome. And when we have equal opportunity under conservatism, under capitalism, under the laissez-faire free market system, a true capitalist laissez-faire free market system, not crony capitalism where the corporation uses the government for their own benefit and then you just kind of go along with the system that way, that's just as bad as the other side of the aisle. True capitalism, true opportunity, true freedom for you. Which is why we went in and fought the fight that we did during the Revolutionary War and why we celebrate what we do with the signing of Declaration of Independence, with the 13 colonies, with what we do coming up this weekend. Why we fought for that so hard. Liberation and freedom to make your own choices, to live your life peacefully the way that you want to live it, not the way someone else tells you to do so. And with that, happy Independence Day, baby. Go shoot off some fireworks. Go do something fun. Enjoy the family. Enjoy the holiday. Wave the flag proudly. And this is the time where you get to kind of rub it into someone else. If they don't like the American flag, then you wave it even louder and more intensely in front of them to show your spirit. Podcast coming up in just a little bit. We're all over the radio, TV, online. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Best of show coming up tomorrow. We're back at it on Monday Live, so make sure to tune in for that. Until then, be your own voice of reason. It's time for you to speak up, speak out, speak loud, speak proud, speak the truth, and always speak some reason. This is The Voice of Reason. Everybody, have a great afternoon. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier with The Voice of Reason. Fighting for conservative principles seems more difficult all the time. The progressive left seems to find new and creative ways to limit freedom, abuse power, and trample the Constitution each and every day. That's why we need the knowledge, resources, and common sense to push back. And we can help with that. Visit our website at HoosierReason.com. There's some really great stuff for you. You can read the latest blog discussing topical issues and current events. Let us know your thoughts by filling out our monthly survey. Keep track of what I might be doing or where I may be speaking. Listen to the podcast of your favorite guest or show. And check out our latest Voice of Reason product infomercials. Plus, you can find upcoming show schedules and guest lineups to plan your radio listening appropriately. And finally, make sure to become a Hoosier-holic by subscribing to the free newsletter. Stay up to date on the latest news of the show, fun facts of the month, and learn new ways to defend and preserve this great republic. It's all there at HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Go check it out. Why? Because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do.